Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
What does the future hold for St. Louis, and how do we get there? This is Nothing Impossible on KMOX.
Welcome in to our innovation conversation on KMOX. Michael and Travis with you. We've got a lot to get to on this show about new frontiers here in St. Louis. The first is Square, the company that was founded by a St. Louisan, Jack Dorsey. They're into finance. They really got a going by allowing you to swipe your credit card to buy anything. But they're getting into Bitcoin now, Travis.
Yeah, what I love about Square is they have a physical presence in downtown St. Louis, and now they're really getting into this virtual currency and finding ways to make Bitcoin easier for people to transact with.
Maybe a little safer as well, lending the credibility of Square to this fledgling cryptocurrency. So we'll get to that. We'll talk with CNET to learn about Bitcoin and what Square's intentions are. And then we'll take you to Harris Stowe State University. They're opening the Geo Hornet Lab inside of T-Rex, another advancement when it comes to mapping technology in St. Louis.
Well, and, you know, if we think about where the NGA is located, it's, you know, in North St. Louis, a predominantly Black neighborhood. Having opportunities for young people of color to move into these career fields makes tremendous sense. It's a great economic driver, and I think it's a great partnership between Harris Stowe State University and T-Rex to make this happen.
And then we'll end the show by taking you to Capitol Hill, where a St. Louisan from BioSTL, Ben Johnson, testified before the House Subcommittee on Economic Growth.
Well, we know that so much economic growth is driven not just by small business, but by innovative businesses. And we're hoping that the new administration, this new presidential and federal administration, will invest more dollars into innovation nationwide.
So Square and Bitcoin, Geo Hornets at Harris Stowe, and St. Louis testifying when it comes to sparking an innovation economy. Stay tuned. All of that is coming up on Nothing Impossible.
St. Louis Innovation with Michael and Travis. Nothing Impossible on KMOX.
Square, of course, is a large St. Louis company. They're taking over the former Post-Dispatch building in downtown St. Louis. It's going to be, I believe, their largest outpost outside of San Francisco. Of course, Jack Dorsey is a St. Louis native. He's the founder of Square, along with Jim McKelvey, and he made some news this week by announcing that they'll be starting a new subsidiary dedicated to decentralized finance. And Travis, and we're also joined by CNET Editor-at-Large, Ian Scheer. It seems like decentralized finance is another way to say Bitcoin.
Yes, exactly. It's interesting. Jack Dorsey has been kind of really fascinated with Bitcoin for a very long time. And look, it's a really interesting technology. The very basics of it, right, are that it's completely decentralized. So instead of requiring a bank or a Federal Reserve, there is just a ledger out in the public, so a file that we all could download, and it tells us how much Bitcoin we all have and all the transactions that go back and forth. And, you know, there are ways to make sure that it isn't hacked and stuff like that, and it's worked pretty well. But what's been interesting is to see companies starting to jump increasingly on it, even though the value of Bitcoin, as we have talked about many, many times, is all over the map, right? It's up one day, it's down the next, it doubles, it halves. It's really exhausting. But the promise of it is what Jack Dorsey is really into.
Yeah, we've seen people, you know, first these large companies adding it to their balance sheets, you know, carrying Bitcoin on their balance sheets. But a company like Square, which is a financial services company or fintech company as well, they're actually integrating it more into their platform. Talk a little bit about what Dorsey's vision is for Bitcoin.
Yeah, the reality is that he hasn't talked too many details. What he did say was that he wants to make it as easy for companies to be able to essentially create apps or services using Bitcoin as one of the ways to pay and to move money around. And look, that is totally what Square is about, right? Like the Cash App or the little Square, the credit card thingy that you put on your phone. All of these things have always been about making finance a lot easier in the mobile age. So it's no shock that he wants his company to start doing this in Bitcoin as well. It'll be interesting to see how far this ends up going. You know, one of the questions that exists, there are a lot of questions around Bitcoin. One of them that exists is the question of getting people comfortable with it, but also how does the government respond? There are tons of questions around, for example, regulation and all these types of things, which is, by the way, part of the reason that Bitcoin halved over the last couple of months. So I'm curious to see what he ends up doing.
Well, and let me just add one more thing. I think back to the day and age we were all trying to create our first blogs or websites on a platform like WordPress, and the role that a company Stripe had played, right, to just really create an integrated e-commerce platform, transactional platform that really plugged into WordPress and gave people confidence to start exchanging money on the web. It sounds like, and you know, Square has some robustness to it. It sounds like Dorsey wants to do this on the mobile app side and really letting Bitcoin be that currency.
There is a real race happening in Silicon Valley to be the bank of Bitcoin. And you see it happening in all sorts of different places. You know, there are the obvious players like Coinbase, which is, a venture-backed firm that's going public and all of that. You also have Facebook. They are trying to do their own version of Bitcoin because, you know, Facebook wants to do their own version of anything. But I think what will be very interesting is exactly what you described, right? If Jack Dorsey is able to kind of really crack that nut and figure out a way where he is able to offer a service that makes Bitcoin indispensable and easy, I think he will be able to really go with it. But what he describes is not easy to pull off, and it'll be interesting to watch.
So how much does the average person use Bitcoin, or how much of an opportunity, I guess, is there for someone to, in the course of a transaction, to use Bitcoin as opposed to a dollar? And is that part of Jack Dorsey's aim here, is to further mainstream this?
Yeah, it's actually really hard to tell exactly what the average person is right now in the Bitcoin world. To give you a sense, there is something around 75 million individual accounts in the Bitcoin world estimated by one of the surveys out there. You know, we could be kind and push it up to 100 million. There are 7 billion people on the planet. There are 330 million people in the United States. So, you know, it's not exactly that there is a ton of people using this stuff yet. The reality is that right now, Bitcoin is also being used as a speculative market by a lot of people. It's not actually being used for the buying and selling of goods. If you'd gone back a few years ago and we wrote on CNET, there was a guy selling alpaca socks with Bitcoin. And, you know, it turned out that, you know, his family had an alpaca farm. They made clothes and whatnot. And he just wanted to play with it, right? It wasn't like it was a really official thing. I'm sure he's really happy with the Bitcoins he got. But the reality is that right now there still isn't a real world that's built around Bitcoin. It's mostly a secondary stock market type thing. And in that regard, unfortunately, it has a kind of craziness to it, right? It's not a part of the economy in the way we would think of it yet.
Is Bitcoin continue to separate itself from other cryptocurrencies out there? I mean, it's the OG, right? It's the godfather of crypto. But is it still separating itself, or are others starting to emerge?
Yeah, there are definitely other cryptocurrencies out there. And, you know, the one you probably have heard the most about, if you know anything about the Bitcoin world, is Ethereum is another one that's really popular. And the reality is that right now, I think part of what's going on is that, you know, first off, there's the people, you know, whenever there's a boom, there's the people who jump in, just like during the gold rush, right? All these people trying to jump in and get some land. So that's a little bit of what you're seeing, is a bunch of different coins popping up because of that. But the other thing also is that there are different takes on how the Bitcoin platform should operate. There are people who argue that the technology behind it, while it is revolutionary, and to be sure, the what we call blockchain technology, which we describe on CNET, right? But it's what makes Bitcoin possible. That technology is being used by banks. It's being looked into by medical firms, all sorts of stuff, because it's a way to move data around in a secure way. And that's great. But in terms of being like, it's, you know, the key standard, you know, piece of finance, right? The money, the currency everyone goes to, there isn't really one that's won out yet, right? Bitcoin is worth the most. Ethereum is worth the next most. And then after that, it's kind of, you know, bottom. And I think it'll probably end up being that way for quite a while.
We're talking with CNET Editor-at-Large Ian Scheer, and one of those alternative currencies is Dogecoin, D-O-G-E-C-O-I-N. And yes. Jackson Palmer, the co-creator, went on a bit of a tweet storm this week. He created one of these cryptocurrencies, but now he says the industry is controlled by a powerful cartel of wealthy figures. It leverages a network of shady business connections, bought influencers, and pay-for-play media outlets. It is financial exploitation, and says that it takes the worst parts of today's system, corruption, fraud, and uses software to limit the use of interventions like audits, regulation, and taxation. This guy co-created one of these cryptocurrencies. He doesn't sound like he's very in favor of it now. Is there kind of a pushback, or does he have a point that, especially as there's this push to get more consumers into this, are there the protections there that we have when we spend with a credit card or cash or FDIC on our bank accounts or all of these different protections we have with the US dollar?
Zero protections, as in none, as in nothing. You are not protected from scams, fraud. If the bank goes under, you are not protected. In fact, that has happened to several people in the past. No, there's no protection at all. That's why I call it a speculative market. You know, look, I think the creator of Dogecoin is an interesting guy, right? Partially because Dogecoin was a joke to begin with. Right? I mean, literally the picture of it, we have a picture of what the Dogecoin looks like on Zena. It's literally a dog, right? Going, wow. And, you know, the truth is that, yes, there is a lot of bad stuff happening in this world. Just like, by the way, there was a lot of bad stuff happening in any big gold rush that ever happens, right? You can look at the housing world. You can look at the gold world. You can look at anything. The question is, what are we doing to make sure that it works and whether or not we want to hold on to it, right? And right now, I think we don't even know if we want Bitcoin to be a real thing. You know, that's why the price keeps going all over the map. That's why you see, you know, some companies looking at it, but then dumping it. You saw Tesla thinking, oh, we'll use it for a while. Then they got rid of it. Now they're maybe going back. Like it's all over the place. So yes, he has a really good point he makes. And there's a lot of criticism I would happily levy at the entire industry for a lot of really good reasons. Hopefully a lot of those concerns will get fixed over time. But that's why I warn people, if you don't have the time or energy to follow this stuff super close, you should stay as far away from it as you can.
So does Square jumping into this, does that try to add some trust to this Wild West, a company like Square?
That's the great question. You know, look, I think that it's not just that one thing that they're doing, by the way, right? Building a platform for developers. They're also saying that they want to develop what's called a Bitcoin wallet, which is essentially, you know, the place to store your Bitcoins. You know, Bitcoins are very much like cash, as in if you lose them, you don't get your cash back. Right? And so, but this is a digital version. So having a physical hard wallet that you carry around is a really interesting thing. But back to the point, if you lose your wallet, you're out of luck. You don't have your money anymore. So I think that the, you know, Square has the potential to really become a standard bearer of this industry, right? I'm typically pretty skeptical of those types of things, partially because when I think of Jack Dorsey and Square, it's hard not to think of Twitter as well, which, you know, while being one of the most influential social networks in the world, is not very highly valued by Wall Street, has a small user base compared to Facebook, and they really struggle to do their job effectively when we deal with stuff like disinformation and everything else. So that's why it's hard for me to look at Square and say, oh, they could be the next one. I don't know. It's hard.
So, I mean, Ian, pull out a crystal ball for us. We're not going to hold you to any of these predictions or anything.
Please
like
don't.
That. But, you know, let's look out 2 to 5 years for in the crypto market, just in general, not talking about value. Let's talk a little bit about adoption and some of these tools that Dorsey and Square are looking at. Like, what can this do for adoption and normalization of cryptocurrency?
Yeah, I mean, look, you don't have to look very far for this to be to imagine what the world can look like. China, in fact, has been doing a lot in terms of mobile payments and cryptocurrency type stuff for a long time. So right now in China, if you want, let's ignore Bitcoin for a moment, right? If you want to pay a friend with, you know, give them money, you know, we use the Square app here in the States. They have their own app, but they use it way more than we do. The people in China live off of their app, and they trade money that way. They pay for stuff with their app. They go into a local shop, you know, a corner store. They pay for stuff with their app. Like, it has become an ingrained part of society there, to the point where those ugly QR codes, right, those weird box within box codes, they're everywhere in China. Right. We have them somewhat in the United States, but they're still, you know, we don't like to put them up because they're ugly as sin. But in China, they're everywhere. And that is part of how it has become. So if we think about what the future of the United States could be in the Western world of money, I think that one of the things that's increasingly becoming true, whether it's Bitcoin, whether it's just Visa card, whatever, right, is that that relying on our phones and relying on the digital version of our money is going to become a very, very common thing. You know, already I am using stuff like Apple Pay and Samsung Pay way more than I ever thought I would. I don't actually carry cash anymore. And I'm working toward not trying to carry credit cards, right? I still don't trust my phone 1,000% yet in terms of it not crashing when I need to pay for something. And Apple has already said they're working on creating a driver's license for your phone too. So, you know, imagine being able to get rid of our wallets and we just carry around our phones everywhere. That is pretty cool, but we're still a little far off from that.
Reminds me of when I forgot my wallet going to a baseball game. I think it was a few months before they announced Apple Pay. And I was like, I could have used that a few weeks ago when I got there and I couldn't get a beer. Keeping the crystal ball out, Ian, we started with St. Louis, and let's wrap up with a little bit on that. Last time I interviewed Jack Dorsey, he said that he would like St. Louis to be the home of a full-fledged division of Square, just like they've got the Seller, the Cash App, they've got Tidal now. Do you think that this has the opportunity to become one of those full-fledged subsidiaries? And maybe St. Louis could be the home for that.
Yeah, I mean, look, there's the thing about technology that I find really exciting, and part of why I love following this industry, right? And I've done it from the Agence France-Presse, from Reuters, from the Wall Street Journal, now it's CNET, is that it is constantly changing. Like, there is always opportunity. And that's not me, you know, tooting the horns and waving the American flag. Like, it is, you can see companies come and go real quick in the tech industry, which means that when they have a good idea, it can take off. And there is totally an opportunity to do something with this, right? If he pulls it off, he does the stuff that I think he should, and, you know, he makes it safe for everyone, and maybe I don't lose my money and stuff like that. Great. Amen. Go do it. And if he does it in St. Louis, all the better, right? I think the question is, can he pull it off in a world where there are tons of people who want to do it right now? And there is everyone trying to make their next $1 billion off of Bitcoin. And I just, you know, big question mark over my head about whether or not there's even $1 billion left to be made in this world that's so crazy.
Well, Ian Scherer, editor-at-large at CNET, thanks so much for joining us, talking all things crypto and Bitcoin and making the story relevant to here in St. Louis with Square and Jack Dorsey. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And coming up on Nothing Impossible, we'll take you to the new Geo Hornet Lab, geospatial, a big cluster for St. Louis. That's at Harris Stowe State University, up next.
St. Louis Innovation with Michael and Travis. Nothing Impossible on KMOX.
All right, welcome back to Nothing Impossible. Travis Sheridan and Michael Calhoun, and we're joined by Dr. Freddie Wills, Carrasco State University Vice President for STEM Initiatives and Research Partnerships. And we're talking about the Geo Hornet Lab. We've talked a lot about a lot of different geo topics, Michael. Geo futures, geospatial. Now we're talking Geo Hornet.
Mapping technology. That's one of the big clusters for St. Louis. Dr. Wills, this is one of really St. Louis's wheelhouses. We've got to really succeed when it comes to geospatial. And tell us a little bit about what Carrasco is doing with the Geo Hornet Lab toward that.
Well, you're definitely right. We have to succeed in this space in the community of St. Louis. And Carrasco has joined this industry and this field of geospatial science to give our students an opportunity to not only to have some exposure in this space, but to also a chance to have engagement with the professionals in the industry, especially the burgeoning entrepreneurial ecosystem that we have in St. Louis around the geospatial science, and the opportunity for our students to get experiences in this field of study while they're in a university setting, so they can learn the skill sets they need to use the tools, understand the science as well, and go out and apply it in industry one day.
Dr. Wells, tell us about how this materialized. How did this come about that Carrasco State University will be launching this hub in T-Rex?
Well, it all goes back to our building the partnership with the NGA. Back in October of 2020, we signed the educational partnership agreement with NGA. And as we look to expand our academic programs in the STEM field, we thought this was a perfect time for us to venture out and open up a lab that is going to be central to the work that we've committed to with the NGA under the educational partnership agreement. So at this time, we're looking to run the activities out of the lab that were committed committed to in the partnership with NGA. So that includes things like curriculum development. It includes us making sure that we're engaging our students in undergraduate research, which is really how they learn this work and advance them towards industry or graduate school. And then also looking at how Carrasco plays a role with helping NGA connect with the community so that people in underserved spaces, underserved students, have opportunity for access to potential jobs in NGA in the future.
T-Rex, of course, is the big startup hub in downtown St. Louis, and that's where Geo Hornet Lab is going to be located. You mentioned, the activities that are involved in this. Some people might be wondering, geospatial mapping technology, like I know how to get directions on my phone, but what else does that entail? Can you clue us in a little bit as to what these students are going to be learning, some of the applications for these skills, and just generally a little bit of an intro to geospatial?
Yeah, so what we are looking at in this space is truly, this is the opportunity, when I said exposure, this is something that will be relatively new at Carrasco in our STEM academic program. So it, for us, is expanding our programs with a curriculum that is going to allow students to hone set their skills in geosciences for opportunities to go into the industry. Out of this lab, we are also going to be focusing on opportunities to use the geospatial science tools on looking at the community and how we can help better serve the community in the development aspect. There's a lots of spaces in St. Louis that we could revitalize, especially in our urban core. And so this work and the effort that we're going to be looking at is going to be using these tools to figure out ways that how could we improve the community? How could we improve the city in using these geospatial tools in a manner to help us just do that? And while we're doing that, we're learning as well. Our students are learning a new skill set. Our faculty members are providing that skill set with them through research. And it's just an overall opportunity for us to increase our academic space with a highly skilled opportunity for our students that will get them in the workforce, and hopefully with some opportunities with advanced jobs that, you know, that our students could make livable wages and improve themselves as well, which also improves the community.
Well, you know, it's always interesting. We hear about, you know, the education of the workforce, and all too often students are given a lot of theory and not a lot of practice. This seems like it's a nice blend of understanding the core theory behind geospatial and what they might need to know to really understand the field, but then also applying it directly in their own backyard, looking at some of the discrepancies that exist in St. Louis. Talk a little bit more, and I saw that that you have a geology professor, Dr. Gary Higgs, is going to be serving as the mentor. Talk a little bit more about some of the role that the faculty at Harris Stowe are going to play in helping move from theory to practice.
So, yes, they're going to help majorly. The faculty is our core. The faculty is very important to everything that we do at the university. So without them, without their knowledge, we can't transfer skill sets to our students in many areas. So Dr. Higgs is going to play a vital role in helping our students first understand geospatial sciences in a way to where we're really going to be looking at the community. And some of the aspects that he wants to look at is, you know, what changes have happened here over the past 50 years. By using the geospatial technology, our students are going to be able to hone in on certain parts of the city to understand how the city has changed, how it has, you know, moved from one state to another. And there for us is opportunities for the faculty members to say, now, how can we use this work to improve socially in the community? Everything that he's doing is really going to be helping our students to understand how they can take a special area like geospatial sciences and go into the communities and say, we could improve this area just by maybe something as simple as placing a stop sign right here could make this community safer. So we're looking at innovative ways of doing community development through geospatial technology.
Little things can make the biggest difference, and this can help us uncover those little things and make action on them. And I'm really curious about, it seems like there are two sides of this. There's the collection of all this data. I mean, some of the geospatial companies are even in the business of physically putting satellites in orbit. And then there's the analysis side. What do you do with all of this information once you have it? Is that kind of right? You've got the collection and these cool physical things, and then you've got the brain power of what does it all mean? What do we do with this?
Right. What do we do with it? It's satellite imagery, is, you know, everything on the ground. You know, we want to know what's here, what's active. So you take that imagery and you look to analyze it as well. And so our students are going to have the ability to learn that in a setting to where you're in an innovative space with T-Rex. And it's going to allow us to make other inroads to other industry partners in the area, and also to create opportunities for industry, for academia to come together to solve problems that we see in the community. And this is really work that I even myself never had an idea of what happens in this lane when you're talking about geospatial sciences and using technology like drones, especially in a urban setting. And one of the areas you could look at is urban agriculture and the way that these tools could be used to just do something simple as determine the soil composition and make sure, is this good soil? Is this a good place to plant food? So there are lots of opportunities that we can navigate and help solve social issues through the use of this technology. And I'm excited about what our students are going to learn. I'm excited about Harris Stowe having space in this area as well, because what it's helping us to do is not only improve the community, we're also diversifying the workforce in a major way with this whole initiative.
Well, Dr. Wills, I think back to probably it's been about 6 or 12 months now when the St. Louis Board of Aldermen were taking up bills and looking at the idea of a possible, you know, aerial surveillance as part of its criminal justice and policing strategy. And I would like to think that more, especially people of color, and let's be very blunt, more Black people, young people going into geospatial and understanding the power of geospatial technology and the both the good and the bad that comes from collecting data, it would make them a more informed citizenry as well, where they can speak up and speak out related for or against, right, related to these types of initiatives that are coming down from City Hall. This is not to get political, but this learning not just helps them professionally, but it helps them both on a civic level as well. Wouldn't you agree?
Yeah, it definitely helps on a civic level, and the diversity in the conversation is very important. And I believe, you know, the companies in this industry are looking to diversify for that reason, because you want the diversity of thought at the table. So for you, when you talk about the opportunities of things like policing, you talk about, you know, fighting crime with a tool like this, having that diverse thought in that conversation could help make sure that we are being intelligent about what we're doing in this space with those tools, to make sure that we are doing things that are ethical, make sure that we're doing things that are not in a manner to where you're singling out, you know, certain individuals in this with the technology. So just by having that diversity of thought there provides opportunity for learning for everyone, because we don't want these situations like using these tools to be a detriment to anyone. So having that diverse thought in the room is definitely a plus.
Ethics, again, and technology. We've been talking about that and thinking about that a lot more lately, haven't we, been Travis?
Yeah, we can't separate the two. The more that data is generated, and we are generating data, all of us, on a regular basis, and somebody is collecting and potentially using those data. And so we do need to have some type of standards and ethics associated with it.
Yeah. Correct. We're talking with Dr. Freddie Wills, who's the Vice President for STEM Initiatives and Research Partnerships at Harris Stowe State University here in St. Louis. And one of the major aspects of this is providing a career path, a launching pad for students. Can you talk about jobs? What are the opportunities that are available for students once they get through this program, and the opportunity for these kinds of jobs to transform the St. Louis area? We talk about the data and the insights. You mentioned the stop sign example, improving people's lives, but these job opportunities themselves can do the same thing.
Yes, I believe it's wonderful. Just the decision to house the NGA in St. Louis is something that's already has brought on more opportunities for the people of the city. You see more and more entrepreneurs developing innovative ways to build companies and with the use of this technology. And that's an area that we definitely want to have our students supported in. You see a lot of companies now coming to St. Louis who are focused on like location sciences and things in this area, because they see the potential of St. Louis really being that global center of excellence for this work. And as the city looks to continue to build on these efforts and grow itself to that global center of excellence, more and more job opportunities are going to come in this space. We have already started conversations and collaborations with folks in the industry, such as the Maxar Technologies. We've done work with them in developing a Mapathon series that we launched our first Mapathon back in March. This was a way for our students to go, wow, this is what we could do if we worked in this industry. And this is a company that's here in St. Louis now that we have access to, and we have the ability to be a part of that one day. In the future, in the coming summer, Harris Stowe State University and Maxar has already partnered to start an internship program where we will have at least 5 students participate in their summer 2022 internship program. So this industry coming to St. Louis and growing in the way that it has is really going to offer lots of job opportunities for not only our students, but other citizens, other communities as well.
Oh, you mentioned the Mapathon. I wanted to ask about that. Travis and I have gone to, we used to love going to the Global Hacks, for instance. Those were so much fun, and seeing how the teams worked together and what the challenges were. Can you take us inside the Geo Hornet Mapathon? What was that like? What was the challenge? Take us inside that.
So we want to be strategic with everything we do in this space with the Geo Hornet Lab. And we looked at the Geo Futures strategic roadmap and looked at the communities that are focused in that roadmap by Geo Futures and said, we want to do a mapathon that's going to help help unveil what's actually in the community, what's there. It is known that underserved communities are not mapped very well. And so we wanted to be of help to the mapping platform, especially using the open space mapping technology that we use to say what's located in these communities. Just by doing that can help you understand what community needs are. You know, how many vacant buildings are there? How many empty lots are there? We were mapping things like that to get an idea of what's in these spaces for in the future. We could then come back and see how can we start building opportunities for improvement just by knowing what's physically in these communities, and because it'll tell you what's physically not in these communities.
Dr. Freddie Wills, the VP for STEM Initiatives and Research Partnerships at Harris Stowe State University. Watch for the Geo Hornet Lab coming to T-Rex. And thank you so much for joining us on KMOX.
Yes, thank you all for talking with us. Again, great opportunity for Harris Stowe to be partnered with T-Rex in this lab. Looking forward to the great work that we're going to do, and also partnering with the other companies within T-Rex as well.
HSSU.edu. Dr. Wills, thank you again.
All right, thank you all.
Stay tuned. Coming up on Nothing Impossible, we'll take you to Capitol Hill. A St. Louis startup leader testified about the region's success. That's up next.
Now back to Nothing Impossible on the Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
Well, Congress heard this week about how the St. Louis model can be copied to turn other cities into innovation hubs as well. The House Subcommittee on Economic Growth wanted to know how innovation can spark new jobs, especially outside of the coasts. Ben Johnson, Vice President of Programs for BioSTL, was one of those who testified, and he says that the approach needs to have local personality.
While the shorthand often is build the next Silicon Valley, successful regions recognize there's only one Silicon Valley, and the right mix of business supports and the right organizations to deliver them vary depending on the needs of a unique market.
For instance, St. Louis focuses on its strengths of medical and agriculture tech.
Clusters are a unique glue that bring people together, that align business supports in a system, and that augment the programs of SBA. But these programs need additional support and direction from Congress.
Johnson testified that one federal program helped BioSTL support 5,000 entrepreneurs, Travis, who attracted $1 billion in private follow-on capital. He and a counterpart from Kansas testified that there should be additional support.
Great testimony, dare I say, great insights from our very own Ben Johnson here in St. Louis. Listeners, thanks for joining us this week. Michael, let's do it again next week.
We'll talk to you then. Happy innovating.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.